The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Well, if I become a punching bag, I'm a punching bag. But I am very happy to testify before any congressional oversight committee. I have nothing to hide. I can explain and validate everything that I've done. So, you know, it's going to be inconvenient if they actually are out there essentially threatening to make my life miserable. But I'm going to do what I need to do, and that is cooperate fully, because we have nothing to hide at all.
I will invoke my right under the Fifth Amendment of the Constitution to refrain from answering your questions.
The man, once hailed as the nation's savior, got pummeled today as he pleaded the Fifth a grand total of 111 times.
What color tie are you wearing?
On the advice of counsel, I respectfully decline to answer based upon my rights under the Fifth Amendment to the Constitution.
What color is the carpet in front of you?
On the advice of counsel, 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 I respectfully decline to answer based upon my rights under the Fifth Amendment.
All of a sudden, Mr. Science and Truth has gone silent. He has nothing to say. It wasn't that long ago where he wouldn't stop talking. But now, on the advice of counsel, as you see there, and I'm sure you heard a lot about it yesterday, and Mr. Livingston even discussed it on the show when he was subbing in for me. But there he is, the man who, for the most part, ran the world for the better part of a year in 2020. Everybody believed him. Everybody supported him. Everyone in the regime media worshipped him. And now, of course, he's pleading the Fifth because he knows he's been exposed as a liar, as a fraud, as anything but a scientist. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. You can get to the live video stream of this program at our website, thetrumpet.com, or at the Rumble channel, which is moving a little slow for me at the moment. Also at YouTube. You can watch it many different ways after the fact as well. So Dr. Fauci, I forget the date on this, but he said a lot of what you're seeing as attacks on me, frankly, are attacks on science. Because all of the things I have spoken, all the things I've spoken about consistently from the beginning have been fundamentally based on science. Well, really, we should say science, falsely so called, as the Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Timothy. It's perfect, isn't it? A fake scientist in a world full of fakery and phoniness. So much of what we are all in on, that's the latest Trumpet magazine. We have gone all in on not intelligence, artificial intelligence. As I said the other day, in 2020, we went all in on Tony Fauci. You could not turn on the cable networks without seeing Fauci, without seeing a clip of Fauci, without getting Fauci's opinion, his view. Everything is based on science. Everything he said. That's what he said. Everything that came out from his mouth. How do you look at what people don't realize? I mean, you know this if you've been watching this program. You know who the God of this world is. You understand about his influence, Ephesians 2:2, Revelation 12:9. But someone just filled with vanity, unable to confess any error. It's like Rand Paul said yesterday. Can you at least come here and say you're sorry for anything? No, he's surrounded by his team of shady lawyers. And he has a lot of money to pay lawyers because, well, he was making millions during COVID. That was exposed yesterday as well. Using government employees, not exposed by him, but by these senators that know the facts now. And then you add the diary on top of it. What is the lesson to take away from all this? To see how easily not just an entire nation, but the whole world can be duped and deceived. You would think there'd be a lot more people humbled by this. How did we let this happen? Now, as you heard yesterday, as far as Fauci himself goes, nothing's going to happen to him. He may have backed himself into a corner as much as he's lied. It was surprising that he came out with an opening statement taking credit for the diary. I didn't even know that point that Mr. Livingston brought out, that it was something that he had online on one of the government servers. It would have been so easy for him to just say, well, you know, I put a few of my thoughts in there, but for the most part, my handlers, they were the ones keeping up with the diary. They were the ones, you know, putting in the content. No, he came out and said, that was my unredacted diary. All right, well, you've got the sweeping pardon that Otto Penn gave him on the way out. It doesn't cover, it's federal crimes, okay, but it doesn't cover for states, and you've already got people like in Florida, the Florida AG, I think it is, calling for him to be prosecuted or indicted. We'll see. Maybe states, maybe a few red states will hold him to account. Why would he need a sweeping pardon? Why would Mr. Truth need to plead the fifth 111 times? You know what the regime media would be doing if it was a conservative pleading the fifth. Oh, you only use plead the fifth if you're guilty, if you've got something to hide. Well, now they're singing a different tune. What? We can't go back and relitigate what happened 6 years ago. 6 years ago is ancient history. They didn't read the diary, and now they're defending his pleading the fifth. And Republicans who won't let things go, or Rand Paul is unhinged. It's really embarrassing to watch. And then to just see the level of arrogance, hubris, vanity. Look at what happened to Lucifer when his heart was lifted up. As I say, you make yourself a pretty big target of the devil's when you think that everything you say is fundamentally based on science and truth. So much has been exposed. At Town Hall, it says, Fauci faced tough questioning, getting grilled by Republicans on the Homeland Security Committee over how he handled COVID-19. We know it was a disaster, but Fauci stayed silent. He read his opening remarks and then invoked the fifth on everything, as you heard there in the cold open. Every single question. You know, another thing that's just sickening about this spectacle is on half of the room or committee, they are convinced he's a villain, he's a liar, he's a cheat, he's obsessed with his own fame. And then everybody on the other side of the room, they think he's a saint. When, if ever will there be an agreement, two sides coming together? So bitterly divided. And of course, you know what's much closer to the truth with respect to the views in that committee hearing, because you have to look at the facts. We really did just in thinking back, some of these clips, you know, it still kind of makes me a little sick to my stomach because I think about what we were doing at Edstone in 2020. I think about the people that were, you know, chasing you down if you didn't have your mask on or if you got within 6 feet of somebody. This is America and Britain leading the way with CCP tactics. The state lowering the boom on the lowly citizens, taking away freedoms. You look at the big picture of all that just 6 years ago. It's hard to believe. With respect to America, it's hard to believe that the not just the most prosperous and powerful nation in the history of the world, but the freest. A nation that was established on liberty. And those liberties are protected. They're enshrined in the Constitution, those protections. And all that just went out the window for about 10, 12 months. Businesses evaporated. People were forcibly taken away from their relatives because of a bad flu season. Started by human beings, by the way. Created in a lab that Fauci funded. Yes, he has nothing to say now. His diaries exposed him. You wonder if Rand Paul released it this past weekend, knowing that there's your evidence, he's going to come to the hearing and plead the fifth. But we know. The world knows. You look at Fauci's face yesterday, he knows. He knows the joyride is over. He knows the fame is in the past. Now it's more like infamy. Listen to Jesse Waters from the other night, clip 12.
A month before Easter, Fauci told the country that the COVID fatality rate was extremely dangerous.
The mortality for this is about 2.5%. It's probably lower than that. It's probably closer to 1. But even if it's 1, it's 10 times more lethal than the seasonal flu.
But that's not what he wrote in his diary. He said the fatality rate was actually closer to 0. Didn't matter. In his diary, he was bragging about shutting down the country. I spoke with Bill de Blasio, mayor of New York City, and convinced him, based on what I was saying publicly and my conversation tonight, to close the NYC schools. He had already decided, based on what I was saying on TV, and I went on to tell him he should close the bars and restaurants in New York City. Fauci said he spoke to Newsom, who did the same thing with California. But afterwards, he was like, who, me?
I wonder if you would recommend locking down schools if you had to do it all over again.
Well, you know, again, it's first of all, I didn't recommend locking anything down.
Serial liar. And the whole world was following his lead. You heard it there. He's on the phone with de Blasio and okay, maybe more so in the blue states. Gavin Newsom, and all of them lowering the boom on their people and then having their cocktail parties with their friends, their family. The rules didn't apply to them, just you. In his diary, he says, it's not hyperbole to say that today I am the most famous and talked about person in the country and one of the most recognizable people in the world. Who writes this? Tony Fauci does, with all the misspellings. The most recognizable person in the world. POTUS, Trump, seems to be enamored of me, even though I'm taking the spotlight away from him. Well, those are two egos you don't want to see clash. President Trump finally did comment on Fauci on his social media, and a reporter asked him yesterday, we'll get to some of those clips later, but he could come out so much stronger denouncing him like some of those senators did if he would just be willing to admit error, to admit that he's wrong or he made mistakes. But you, when you've got this giant, supersized, overswelling ego, that's hard to do. Mr. Armstrong, Herbert Armstrong used to say, the hardest thing in the world for human nature to do is to confess error. That's the first step to repentance, repentance toward God. Fauci gives the numbers on April 7th, 2020, the number of infections and deaths. And he says, the press is still hot and heavy about me. Multiple stories per day, directly or indirectly, involving me. He loved the radical left. They make a big deal about President Trump liking to read articles about himself. Well, what about here? He just loved it. He loved the notoriety. He loved the regime media. He had dinner and invitations set out to Jake Tapper and company. Totally in cahoots with one another. And I didn't spend enough time Tuesday on the regime media. But what an indictment against them. March 4th, 2020. Again, much praise for my role in the coronavirus. Many senators want to speak to me individually. Much praise for me. That's coming. That spirit is the spirit of the devil. And we all have it. And we all need to repent of it. We love being, you know, patted on the back. We love praise and adulation. We love a little bit of high-mindedness. That's the way human nature is. Like Mr. Armstrong used to say, human nature likes to think that it's good, even as it does evil. Here he's finally, if there's one good thing to come out from this, it's the exposure. The exposure of all this evil. And you would think people would really be examining themselves and the role of government. But there's going to be a lot of other Faucis to come forward in the days, weeks, and months ahead. Because that's the spirit of this age. We are all in on vanity. We are all in on self-reliance. We are all in on will worship. It's true. And it's prophesied. Listen to President Trump yesterday in the Oval, clip 3.
Dr. Fauci invoked the Fifth Amendment more than 100 times today.
Yes, sir.
Rand Paul said he's going to hold a vote on holding him in contempt of Congress. Do you think Dr. Fauci should face repercussions for this?
Well, I watched the whole thing today, but more importantly, I was a part of the whole Fauci. I inherited Fauci. He was here from the 1980s, so I had him for a period of time. And I disagreed with him on a lot. I would have had it closed down the whole country if I listened to him. Many more people died under Biden than died in the Trump administration from COVID. COVID was a disaster, but Fauci did not help.
As I say, it could have been a lot stronger if just Biden was worse. I disagree with Fauci. And then in the same exchange, he's bragging about Operation Warp Speed and putting pressure on everyone to get the jab, to get the booster, to get multiple boosters. Here's clip 4.
Mr. President,
why do you think Dr. Fauci invoked the Fifth Amendment so many times today when he has the pardon? And why couldn't, what was stopping him from just giving an honest testimony this morning?
Well, look, I've never been a big fan of Fauci. Why he did that was very simple. His lawyer told him to. You know, I don't know if he would have been better off not doing it. There were a lot of questions that I guess he could have answered, and some maybe he didn't feel comfortable in answering, but his lawyer told him to do that.
Pretty weak. Pretty weak response. What's he hiding? He worked under Trump. During that dreadful year, President Trump tweeted this out. Operation Warp Speed was a spectacular success. In fact, many say one of the most successful things ever done by an American president pushing this vaccine on the world that caused so many side effects, including on Tony Fauci. And that's revealed in his diary. He never came out and said publicly, you know what, I had a pretty bad side effect from the jab myself. No, he wrote about it, thinking it would never see the light of day, but it did. Tony Fauci, I forget what the problem was, but it was pretty serious. And it came as a result of the vaccine, which wasn't even a vaccine. It was an experiment. And human beings were the guinea pigs, the mice, the rats. Just experimenting with man, here again, man-made technology. We were all in on the vaccine. The most successful, one of the most successful things ever done by an American president. Warp speed. Getting that vaccine out that hurt so many people, that made so many people sick, that caused a lot of heart dysfunction and other dysfunctions of vital organs. I said from the beginning that the virus came from the Wuhan lab in China. Fauci strongly disagreed, always trying to protect China. Well, there's a truth. There's a kernel of truth in that, but is this all really something to brag about? I inherited Fauci. Fauci was largely taken out of play, and then along came Sleepy Joe Biden, who made Fauci a king. I called Biden to tell him Fauci was no good, either didn't have a clue or was dishonest. The call was received, but sadly not acted on. Well, you come back to everyone being all in on Fauci and the lockdowns and the masking and the social distancing. I played the montage for you the other day. All these talking heads just praising him, praising Tony Fauci, a human being, a mere mortal, a fake scientist. This will take you back, this montage put together by Grabian. But it's several minutes, but it just shows how much damage it was causing, putting your faith, your trust in a man, and just how much the media worshipped him, will worship on full display. This is clip 7.
President Trump wrote on Twitter, don't be afraid of COVID, don't let it dominate your life. Don't let it dominate your life?
In terms of responding to a comment like that, it's gross.
It's okay to be afraid of COVID, and it's okay that it's dominating your life.
Everyone should be afraid of COVID.
You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free.
I can't come in, Mom. It's because of this flu thing.
We won't be free of this pandemic until we listen to the acknowledged truth. Listen to the scientists.
Science is truth.
You know, science is truth.
What is the impact to public health when people are openly questioning the science?
Now is the time to do what you're told.
By not hearing the truth, by not listening to the scientists, they are prolonging how bad the economy will be.
When I see somebody out in the world who's not wearing a mask, I instantly think you are a threat, or you are selfish, or you are a COVID denier, and you definitely haven't been vaccinated.
You don't wear a mask, get the fuck out.
What does this have? Are you vaccinated?
I am triple vaccinated.
So why are you wearing a mask?
Seek out the scientists and listen to their advice.
Listen to scientists.
Listen to the scientists.
Trust the experts.
We're going to trust science. We're going to trust the experts.
Parents who say, well, I need to do my own research, makes you think of that cartoon I saw of the tombstone that said, I did my own research.
Republicans have given their voters license to believe whatever they want to believe.
Heard somebody saying, listen to the scientists. Do that.
Let's listen to the scientists.
That phrase, do your own research, it's popping up a lot in conversations about coronavirus and about COVID vaccines. Doing your own research, it seems so innocent, but it can have serious consequences. Renee, what are the roots of this phrase? I feel like I used to hear it around QAnon craziness. Come on!
If some jerk exposed my mother to COVID because they didn't want to wear a mask, I would want to kill them.
We can watch the experts, but we shouldn't be listening to Trump, a non-medical professional.
Well, the answer is listen to Bill Gates. Bill's right about a lot of things, and he's a steep learning curve in global health.
And we're really seeing just how important it is to follow science.
Yes. Yes, exactly, and we need to listen to scientists.
The idea that people are questioning the science behind the vaccine.
The science checks out. Even if you don't believe in the science, you think you're tough enough and you're healthy enough and you're young enough, the scientists were right all along. Eventually, the science catches up with you.
Are we doing more harm than good by questioning the science behind J&J?
Trust that vaccine.
Trust the experts. Mm.
Listen to the medical experts.
Trust the experts.
If you don't understand the science, you don't know what you're fighting.
Just let the experts speak.
So maybe you should just shut up right now.
You don't want to take advice from your golf buddy or from your aunt. You want to listen to the scientists.
Can we all stop saying, I need to do my own research?
You see the ultimate effects of what happens when you don't listen to the scientists.
This isn't about being scared. This is about scaring us straight.
Science, science, and science. Only listen to the scientist.
If we follow the science, imagine, instead of staying locked up in their rooms, they're able to hug their grandchildren.
This isn't about freedom. It's about freedom for your neighbors.
You can give each other a hug as long as everyone is fully vaccinated.
Listen to the scientists like the rest of us.
We have to listen to the scientists.
We'll listen to the scientists.
Every scientist, every expert, listen to the experts.
Listen to the science because the science works.
Very much.
Yeah.
Trust science.
Well, he's the one pushing the vaccine, I think, for Pfizer. There's lots of Tony Fauci's in the world, as I said. You know, this week I've been telling the campers we need more King Davids. We need more young people like David with the spirit, the heart of David. He had a heart like God's, it says in Acts 13. A couple months ago, I said at the commencement for Armstrong College that we need more people like Herbert Armstrong. We need more Herbert Armstrongs. It's because we're living in a world full of Faucis. The spirit of high-mindedness, it's everywhere. Just follow the science, don't do your own research, don't believe the facts. And then, like this one gal tweeted out, the media somehow found time for Fauci's sainthood, but somehow didn't find the time to read his diaries. No time for that. We got to blot that out. We've got to erase that history. My father makes the point in the Ezekiel booklet how that the devil tries to erase his own history. But how many people even look into history in this end of history age we're in? We've come to the end of reading. We've come to the end of history. And look at how easily the whole world can be duped and deceived. What are the lessons to take away from the COVID years? You know what else? I didn't bring the clips to show it, but if President Trump is right that more people died of COVID under Biden than under Trump. Well, Trump was there all through 2020. He was there through the first part of January 2021 through the fake insurrection. And then the inauguration for the Otto Penn presidency, that would have been January 20th. So if more people died of COVID after January 20th, 2021, do you think the hyperventilating and scaremongering on the news networks, do you think that intensified as you went through 2021? Or did it die down? Well, of course it died down. And then you didn't need the daily trackers as much because it wasn't necessary to scare people. so that we could rig the election. COVID is not the only, like I said the other day, you got COVID, you got the election rig, you've got January 6th. Look at how easily we just receive lies and don't do anything about it. Don't stand our ground. Don't stand for the truth. Certainly don't penalize or punish anyone for telling the lies. What does it say about our world? So many, everything you see each day in the news cycle. Look at the ongoing war with Iran. Never ending. The mighty United States of America. And Iran is just flexing its muscle, unafraid. Knowing that if it just waits out the U.S., it's going to win. The forces of evil in this world, they're here, they're abroad, they're everywhere. Lots of Tony Fauci's to go around. The Telegraph says, why Saudi Arabia finally joined the war? On Tuesday night, the kingdom joined U.S. forces in carrying out a series of airstrikes on Iranian proxy groups in Iraq. And you see how Saudi Arabia, I mentioned the other day, Jordan's being drawn into this. Egypt, there was a drone strike on Egypt. The war is, it's escalating. There are new fronts opening on this war. Daily, it seems. Axios says Iran launches missiles at U.S. base for the first time since Trump paused the strikes. Jerusalem Post, exactly what Iran intended. Some Jordanians buckle under missile pressure, demand the U.S. withdrawal. Doesn't seem like it's getting much better. I mentioned the other day that prophecy in Psalm 83 and how that Germany's going to be drawn into this as the U.S. withdraws. And Germany will use the instability in Jordan as a pretext to sweep through the entire region like a whirlwind. And as I said the other day, what a difference when you look at what Assyria does in fulfillment of Daniel 11:40, and you compare it to what's happening to Manasseh right now and the weakness that's being exposed. Can't seem to bring this to an end. This was President Trump speaking in the Oval Office, clip 5.
We're going to be hitting them very hard because it's our turn to hit them. They know it's coming. They're asking us not to do it. But, they tried shooting it last night. So we had 5 rockets shot going 8,500 miles an hour. And all 5 rockets were knocked down to the ground. But they nevertheless took a shot. So it's our turn. And we'll see if we get there with an agreement at some point. But we're going to hit them very hard.
Under what scenario do you see Iran attacking U.S. installations and personnel overseas, and you withdraw?
I don't see that. No, we're not. No, we're gonna hit them very hard. I mean, I can actually say that because there's very little they can do about it. It was a different group than we're dealing with. They've already apologized, but we got to smack them a little bit.
Mr. President, when they strike,
will I always hit back?
Yes,
pretty much. Yes.
So the smackdown, I guess, continues. Total obliteration. How many months are we into it now? And as I say, you look at what goes on behind the scenes with Russia and China supplying Iran. Listen to one more. This was in an interview with Fox News, clip 6.
President Trump reacting to that Iranian attack on U.S. forces overnight in Jordan. President Trump tells Fox News about Iran, we are going to beat the effing S out of them. He went on to say, we'll be hitting them hard. They're going to get a beating. So clearly the United States is going to respond to what the president described as a surprise attack. He says U.S. forces had just minutes to shoot down these incoming Iranian ballistic missiles. The president says he has reviewed video of the shootdown and it was U.S. forces conducting this operation to defend that area. He said it was real time. They were calling out coordinates and ensuring that none of this incoming Iranian fire got through. I also asked the president about those U.S. and Saudi airstrikes against Iran-backed Iraqi Shia militias overnight. He says those strikes were coordinated with the Iraqi government. He called these Iran-backed militias a cancer on the world and says he is considering additional warnings against Iranian proxies and their link to the Iranian regime.
So one day they're moderate. They want peace. They love negotiating. And then the next day you unleash this profanity-laced tirade about what you're going to do to their country. What is it with all of the cursing, by the way? One of the clips from the hearing yesterday, I forget the name of the senator, but he was letting Fauci have it, and Fauci deserves it. But then he used the F word, and this is in a congressional hearing, and he used the S word as well. Axios has a piece. Political profanity is having a bleeping moment. So there's a curse word in the headline from Axios. For their part, they've got to weigh in on this. This is a big story. This is a big development. Politicians are increasingly abandoning scripted language and publicly cursing as profanity becomes more common, a more common political tool. That's all it is. The F word is a political tool. You got to use it. And they're using it. They certainly are. The shift suggests politicians are using profanity intentionally to project authenticity, signal confrontation, and distance themselves from traditional Washington norm. This is what sets you apart. This is what shows you're not just embedded into the swamp. You're kind of on the fringes. You're like a maverick. What they're saying, there's this dissatisfaction and anti-establishment fervor that's been present for probably at least a decade now. So is this the solution to all of our problems? To all the evils that we're seeing in government and outside of government, overseas? We're going to do this. Bleep, bleep, bleep to Iran. We're going to do this. Bleep, bleep, bleep to Fauci. The more you curse, the farther the message is going to spread on social media. This article says presidents, vice presidents, and presidential hopefuls have used profanity at least 692 times in public since 1919. So they've got a tracker, I guess, for profanity. That's just in public. That's just before the cameras. What goes on behind the cameras? Listen to this proclamation, this or general order from America's first president. This is August 3rd, 1776. It's our birthday this year. 250 years. August 3rd is Monday. So we're coming up to the 250th anniversary of this statement made by George Washington. It says, the general is sorry to be informed that the foolish and wicked practice of profane cursing and swearing, a vice hitherto little known in our American army, is growing into fashion. He hopes that the officers will, by example, as well as influence, endeavor to check it, and that both they and the men will reflect that we can little hope of the blessing of heaven on our army if we insult it by our impiety and folly. If we carry on like this, how are we going to be blessed from heaven above? How are we going to win favor from our Creator? This is an American president said this, the first one. It says, added to this, it is a vice so mean and low without any temptation that every man of sense and character detests and despises it. Every man of character despises this wickedness. So said George Washington. My father gave a program. This was back in 1997, Blast from the Past, 30 years ago. The title of the program, Hosea, A Warning to Britain. Well, it's a warning for America as well. Listen to clip two.
Let me read another statement by Mr. Churchill. This was a statement by a friend of his. His speeches set the whole kingdom on fire, said Lord Ismay, the prime minister's chief of staff and closest associate throughout the war. He absolutely refused to admit the possibility of defeat. He believed passionately in victory if you deserved it. An interesting statement at the end, if you deserve it. Do you suppose we deserved it in World War II? Well, I suppose at least enough so that God gave it. But what if we don't deserve it? Then what happens? What if we get in serious trouble like we did in World War II, and even worse, as the prophecies say, and we don't deserve victory, or we don't deserve to be saved? Then what happens? Well, God says He's going to save us regardless. He is going to save Britain and America regardless, and even this whole world. But there's going to be a great amount of suffering first if we don't listen to His message, if we don't listen to His prophecies.
He's referring to, again, some history during the time of Winston Churchill. What do we need to do to deserve victory? Well, we need upstanding character. Do we see that in our society today, in our nations? This article from Axios, it says, voters perceive swear words as significantly more informal, which measurably improves voters' overall impression of a candidate by making them sound like an ordinary person. Well, he sounds like me. This is the way I talk. I curse all the time. So I love it when I hear Trump do it, or the senator. Or when it's on Fox News or MS Now, it makes them more relatable, I guess. It makes them look more down to earth. They're just an ordinary Joe. Cuss-filled rhetoric didn't necessarily persuade more voters, but it did help candidates unconsciously pass the vibe check, indirectly increasing voter support. How embarrassing. What an outrageous take to have on leaders or yourself or anybody. But there it is. And it's such a big development that it's got an article at Axios devoted just to the use of swear words. Does this show that our character is improving as a nation, or is it getting worse? Here again, we're in the post-truth era. Fauci's proof of that. The regime media is proof of that. We're in the post-history era. That was from, what, the Atlantic? The end of history. And, of course, the end of reading. Maybe that was the Atlantic one. Hosea 4:6, destroyed for lack of knowledge. And you know what else it says in that chapter? Well, let me just read the first two verses. Hosea 4 and verse 1. It says, "Hear the word of the Eternal, you children of Israel, for the Lord has a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there's no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying and killing, and stealing, and committing adultery, they break out and blood touches blood." What does God think about this subject at Axios? Do we deserve to win? Do we deserve victories in war? Do we deserve blessings from God? Are we winning favor from God, like the Speaker of the House said last week? Or is it something altogether different? Is it the exact opposite? You know, and the theme at camp this year, these past 3 weeks, has been prove God. Prove his existence. Prove his involvement in your life. And we have these daily forums given by ministers in most cases, but Mr. Hilliker organized it to where the first 5 minutes is a short speech given by one of our headquarters employees on basically on science proving God, true science. Here we've been, our young people are receiving science and truth in ways that the whole of this world did not just 6 years ago. And here you just saw the montage, all these vain talking heads lecturing society about the importance of believing their science and not doing any research on that doesn't even square with what God says about prove all things. You heard them though. They said, be careful. Your own research is going to get you into trouble. So don't prove anything. Just listen to Fauci. And people did, by the millions. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 20. Oh, Timothy, keep that which is committed to your trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings. Avoid profanity. Avoid anything that's profane and vain. And it says, and oppositions of science, falsely so-called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Fake science, vain babblings, profanity. That's what proceeds out of the heart of man. Fauci said, yesterday, this is in his diary, July 13th, 2020, yesterday, Florida had more than 15,000 infections, most for any state since the beginning. Major show of support for me for multiple and varied take a shot at Florida, because that's, you know, DeSantis. And then praise yourself. Major show of support for me from multiple and varied sectors. Most people expressing outrage that the Trump administration would be so bumbling and incompetent to try to discredit the most credible scientists in the world. He called himself the most credible scientist in the world. You can't make this up. He says TV and print have flooded the media in support of me and condemnation of the Trump administration. Just a political hack. That's what it amounts to. Anti-science. Science falsely so-called. This is in the New Living Translation, or the NIV. O Timothy, guard what was committed to your trust, avoiding the profane and idle babblings and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. Another translation, avoid godless, foolish discussions with those who oppose you with their so-called knowledge. Just avoid it. Shun it. Stay away from it. Don't cozy up to it. Don't lower your standards because you see it all around. What does it say about following a multitude that does evil? Even if you're not engaging in it yourself specifically, but giving your approval of it. That's at the end of Romans 1. God says, don't do that. Exodus 23 says, don't follow the crowd toward evil. Be willing to stand alone if you have to. Be willing to fight for the truth. Be willing to defend God's revelation. So here our teenagers are coming into form every day, and they're hearing about, you know, how God designed the hummingbird and how it makes no sense whatsoever if we supposedly evolved from ooze of some kind. They're getting true science. They're learning about the Creator. They're avoiding vain and profane babblings coming from men, coming from people who call themselves the greatest scientists in the world. The lengths we'll go to worship some man's opinion over and above God's. That is will worship. It's a religion. It's a religion. And Paul gives some really helpful admonition here. Just stay away from it. Stay away from fake science. Stay away from profanity. Stay away from babbling. And get grounded in the truth. Just back up to verse 3. This is in that same chapter. 1 Timothy 6, verse 3 says, "If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words even," wholesome words? Did you know the Bible had this much to say about how you speak? Your speech, the quality of your conversation, your vocabulary? Says a lot about the person when the mouth opens and just out spews all of this profanity, all of this vain babbling, all of this vanity and arrogance, this pride. In the Proverbs, the book of Proverbs, God says how much he hates it. How much he hates even perverse speech. "If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof comes envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings." This is the way of the world. And it's not the way Jesus Christ lived or spoke. Can you imagine Jesus Christ to try to sound or look a little more relatable? Just dropping all of this profanity, swear words one after another. Well, and then the crowds there in Judea would just see him as, well, he's kind of like me. I kind of like him. No, when he opened his mouth, out came the words of God. The words that you see in the Bible. And what did humanity do to him in the end? Verse 5, it says, "Perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness." It says, "From such withdraw yourself." That's what so many human beings suppose. Gain. If we just gain or win, if we get a political victory, or if we come out on top in this confrontation, then that means we're godly. That means we're winning favor from God. That means we're religious. That means we're righteous. That means we're holy. God judges by a different standard. 50 honorary university degrees. Guess who claimed 50 of them? Well, that would be Tony Fauci. Universities loved him, just like the regime media. They all assumed everything he was speaking was truth, righteousness, science. And it was just the opposite. This is one of several takeaways from what we've lived through and witnessed these past few years. But don't get self-righteous with it. Don't just gang tackle Tony Fauci. God wants us to look at ourselves. Just as George Washington wanted his lieutenants, his chiefs, his leaders to look at themselves, so that they could set the right example for the ordinary men. That's all we have time for on today's show, the fastest moving hour in broadcasting. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Thanks for joining us today, and we'll see you tomorrow.